Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'll try to hurry if I can today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians, that's right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Appreciate that. 1 through 3. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now notice that phrase, if you would, there in verse 5, verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. Now turn there to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let me read to you some verses there. Starting at verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. We've already prayed, but would you stand with me one more time and let's pray together and ask God to help us this morning in the preaching of his word. Heavenly Father, we appreciate your grace, your divine mercy. We ask, Lord, for your anointing from on high. Lord, I recognize that I am nobody and nothing, but I look to you for your touch and your divine help and mercy. Lord, would you overshadow us just now? God, grant us hearts to hear. I pray, Master, you give me clarity of thought. Grant your anointing. Grant your anointing. The yoke is broken. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have taken for a subject the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. And as I looked at this day of the Lord, it is quite an issue. I did not realize there was as much in the Scriptures on the day of the Lord as there is. As a matter of fact, that phrase, the day of the Lord, occurs somewhere around 23, 24 times in the Bible. And again, several times it's mentioned the great day of the Lord, or that day, or the day. And so the day of the Lord is mentioned much in the Scriptures. It is something that many of us read, we pass it over, never think about it. But yet, I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a day that's soon to come that's going to shake this world. And it will be the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. And the Apostle Peter, as you well know, was getting on up in years. He was soon going to leave this present world. And in light of that, he says in verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So what you have here, first of all, is you have the minister's aspiration. What he wanted to do was to remind them that the Lord was coming again. The Lord was coming again. As a matter of fact, he says in verse 1 and 2, "Beloved, be mindful." In verse 8, he says, "Beloved, be not ignorant." In verse 14, he said, "Beloved, be diligent." In verse 17, he says, "Beloved, beware." So here, this man of God was doing his best in contemplation of the last days and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to write a letter to keep them in mind that the Lord was soon to come and they were not to forget that. As I thought about that, I think of Brother Finley's aspiration up here. I appreciate the fact that he's doing his best to have here a meeting that will keep us reminded that the Lord is soon to come again. The Lord is going to come again. The Lord is coming again. And the reason why, as you look at it here, he wanted them to keep this fresh in their mind is because he realized that it would be a day that would be a terrible day for those who would not keep that in mind. So he's telling them, first of all, in verse 2, what I want you to do is I want you to be mindful of the words that I speak. I want you to be mindful of the words of the Scripture. And not only do I want you to be mindful of the words of the Scripture, but I want you to also keep in mind the atmosphere of the last days. Because I believe that we are living in the atmosphere of the last days. The Lord is soon to come. The Lord is soon to come. And so he tells them that. Again, the Word of God. And notice what he says. Ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And what he's doing there is that he's putting the words of himself, men like Paul, men like Peter, James, and others of them that wrote the Holy Scriptures of the New Testament on the same level of inspiration and authority as the Old Testament prophets that spoke so graphically of the last days. I'm here to tell you that the Lord is coming, and I'm glad for the Word of the Lord that tells us all about it if we'll only read about it. And so what he's doing here is he's giving us, first of all, his aspiration. Here's the minister's aspiration. And the reason for that is because of the mockers' accusations. For what are they doing? He said, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The mocker's accusation. What he wanted it to do with the people of God, he wanted to remind them, the Lord is coming again. What he wanted to do with the scoffers and the mockers is he wanted to refute them and let them know that what they were saying was absolutely wrong, but the Lord is soon to come back again. The Lord is soon to come back again. And I understand that this meeting, especially in the day service, has that tint or temper to it of teaching. And so that's what I'm going to try to do a little bit of this morning. And I realize they tell me that preaching is truth on fire and teaching is truth on ice. So, I'm going to give you your choice there. Hallelujah. You can either take it as ice or fire. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord is soon to come back again. Isn't he, church? He's soon to come back again. But notice what he's saying here. First of all, he's saying that his coming is doubting. It's doubted. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. His coming is doubted. But I want you to know that even though it is doubted, his coming is determined by the Word of the living God. And don't ever forget that. That his coming is determined by the promise of the Word. This world was formed by the Word. This world was flooded by the Word. And this world is reserved for fire by the Word of the living God. I want you to know this morning, amen, that even though they doubted, it is determined the Lord is coming back again. Amen, church. But notice something else that Peter says about this.
whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now... Are y'all still with me this morning? But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, let me tell you this, beloved. Let me tell you this. Amen. The Lord's coming has been delayed. Well, why has the Lord's coming been delayed? And I'll give you some reasons. Number one, God's calendar is different. For one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. But let me tell you this, the commitments of the Lord, they are sure. For the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. If the Lord said it, the Lord will deliver on it, and the Lord will come back again. The Lord will come back again. And I'll tell you another great reason. God's compassion is so long. God's compassion is so long. He's not willing that any should perish. The story goes that some godly farmers in a Western community, they were greatly shocked one Sunday morning when they got to church, and just across the road there was a man who owned 40 acres. And he was in the middle of his plow, and his field, plowing, turning the furrows. Been doing it all day, ignored the fact that it was the Lord's day. People went into church, had church, they came back out. He was still plowing. He worked all day long in his fields. Finally, at the end of the harvest, he wrote the newspaper and he told the editor. He said this. He said, I plowed my fields on Sunday. I fertilized them on Sunday. I harvested them on Sunday. I had a great yield for them on Sunday. Now tell me, what do you think about that? The editor wrote back with common sense, made this simple statement. He simply said, God does not settle all His accounts in the month of October. God's calendar is not like our calendar. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord will one day settle the accounts that need to be settled. Amen. Thomas Watson wrote, as long as there is eternity, God has time enough to reckon with all of the accounts of being in this present life. I want you to know that God's calendar is not like our calendar. And the Lord will one day settle all the accounts that are now outstanding. The Lord will come back again. The Lord will come back again. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joel. And let me show you something. As a matter of fact, there are several scriptures about this day of the Lord. And notice what he says here as you read about it here in 2 Peter. And before I go there, let me make mention of this. He makes mention here of their accusation. And then finally, it says here again in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works of that are in shall be burned up. It shall be burned up. Amen. This minister had an aspiration that they remember the Lord is coming again. And the reason for that is those mockers and their accusations. But he's telling them one day there is going to be a melting annihilation. And the Lord is going to melt the heavens and the earth. And if you're not in good standing with the power of the Lord, you will be there in that day, and you will suffer the consequences of the Almighty God. It's just as simple as that. As a matter of fact, let me read you some scriptures in Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 6. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall be as a destruction from the Almighty. Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 10. For this is the day of the Lord of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall satiate or satisfy itself. Amen. And be made drunk with the blood, for the Lord of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. In Ezekiel 30, for the day of the Lord is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be a time of the heathen. Joel chapter 1 verse 15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Amos chapter 5, are you getting the picture of this? There is a day that's coming on this present world that is going to be horrendous and awful and terrible. I'm here to tell you, I want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes again. Amos chapter 5 and verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very darkness and no brightness in it. Alas for the day. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. And as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Obadiah verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. I want you to know that in the near distant future, there is coming the day of the Lord. And what an horrendous and tragic and awful day that will be for those that are not ready. Coming of the Lord. It's coming. As a matter of fact, it seems like Joel, the book of Joel, and Joel is one of the poster boys for the great day of the Lord. That's absolutely right. The book of Joel. Turn there with me if you would, and let me read to you a few things from the book of Joel. There are three chapters in the book of Joel. Are y'all still with me this morning? There are three chapters in the book of Joel. And in those three chapters are revealed 3 days. When you look at it, first of all, in that first chapter, what you have is a day that is past. A day that is past. For Joel speaks about how the locusts came and they devoured the land and they destroyed everything that was in their sight. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy. And so much that they never forgot it. Those locusts, I understand, although they are small things, what mighty teeth they have, what sharp teeth they have, insomuch that they have the power and the ability to eat a baby's face off if they are not hidden from the awful holocaust of the locust. And what he's saying that day that is past, the day of the locust, it was a horrendous day. But Joel is making a statement. He said that was the day of the Lord in judgment. But he's making a statement by that. And then he goes on to chapter 2. And he said, now look here. There is a day that is nigh. A present day when the army of the Assyrians are going to march out of the north. And they're going to come down on you. And they will destroy you. And what an awful day that will be. You think those day of locusts were bad? I'm here to tell you. That day when the Assyrians march and they come against you in this present day, it will be an awful day. But let me tell you about a third day, and that's a prophetic day. Amen. The day of God and the day of the Lord when the Lord comes again. What an awful day that will be in that hour. You will need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. You will need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. For what he's telling them there. And it's like a crescendo that's building up. The locusts were horrible in that past day. That local situation of those armies that came. Oh, it will be more severe. But I'm here to tell you. Let me remind you that there's a day coming. It will be far worse. It will be the day of the Lord. It will be the day of the Lord. I wish I had enough words and enough sentences and enough vocabulary to tell you this morning the awfulness of that day. I want you to know you need to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two things that are mentioned here, especially in the book of Joel chapter 3. Are y'all still with me this morning? There are two things especially that are mentioned. The awful destruction that's found here. The widespread destruction that is found here in the book of Joel. For he speaks of the awfulness of that day of the Lord. And how the Lord has put in the sickle. The harvest is ripe. Press is full. That's overflow. I'm here to tell you, sin is overflowing in our age, isn't it? Let the heathen be awakened. Let them be awakened. There are two things that are made mention here in this chapter 3 of the book of Joel. Number one is the widespread destruction. Number two, he says this, multitudes, multitudes. In the valley of decision. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near. In the valley of decision. So what you have here is you have destruction. And also you have decision. For the Lord is not only a God of vengeance, but the Lord will be vindicated. And he's saying, the reason why this riotous, massive, rebellious throne is in such tumult here in this valley is because I will be vindicated and it will be seen and my judgment upon you is righteous and just. It's righteous and just. For the Lord is as if he is pitching for the whole world. Why are you down here anyway in this valley about to meet my wrath? I'll tell you why. It's because of your decision not to follow my leading and my law and my love. And that's the reason why you're down here. The Lord will be vindicated. I'm here to tell you, if you die lost and you go to hell, there's nobody to blame but yourself. There's nobody to blame but yourself. And that's why he's bringing that multitude, that mass of people there, to show he is vindicated, Brother Suits, in what he's doing. You've made the decision to follow your own way, your own lifestyle, your own purposes, your own desire. Go ahead. I want you to know, you made the decision. You must live with that decision. You must live with that decision. So he's telling us here, there is coming a day. Notice as he starts it off here, there, if you go back with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm trying to hurry, 2 Peter chapter 3, he's telling us there's going to be a melting annihilation. The day of the Lord is going to come. And that's the prophecy there. The day of the Lord is going to come. The day of the Lord is going to come. And I want you to know this, that no man or woman stands under the wrath of God without their first choosing to do so. C.S. Lewis wrote, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, thy will be done. And all who suffer wrath, choose it. The national anthem of hell is, I did it my way. I did it my way. And it may be that Elvis Presley is there today singing that song in hell. I did it my way. Oh, come on, help me this morning, church. You know I'm telling you absolutely right. There is a prophecy. There is a prophecy that the day of the Lord shall come. It don't matter how ignorant you are or how blinded you are to it, a day will come whether you are ready for it or not. That day will come. That day will come. And then notice, as he says here in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. That's the prophecy. Where is the place? Here on the earth. Here on the earth. Notice again the products that are found here in this verse. For he said, the earth also, and the works that are therein. The works that are therein shall be burned up. Shall be burned up. Shall be burned up. Products of man, all they have built, all they have attained. Their massive buildings, their architectural structures, their well-laid plans, all of them will one day come to naught. And just like it was on 9/11 with the falling of the Twin Towers, as they witnessed it, so the works of men will fall into the dust and the ashes of the vengeance and wrath of the Almighty God. Everything that we have built up, everything that we've attained in this present world, Brother Don, one day will be destroyed. Those priceless paintings, those works of art, those elaborate edifices, all of those things, the products of men's hands, will one day be destroyed. Why? Just down the road, the day of the Lord is coming. The day. The great day. Terrible day. That awful day. Right now it's man's day. He's living like he wants to live, doing what he wants to do. That's the reason why, Brother Finley, our pews are not filled. It's man's day. Pleasure man. Absolutely pleasure man. Amen. I like what the scripture says about David. David said, while I was musing, the fire burned, man, the fire burned. But now we've come to a day when we are amusing and we're doing everything we can, amen, to pleasure our own lives and our own selves. But let me encourage you, the day is coming. There is the day of the Lord that is on its way. It's on its way. It's on its way. And notice, if you would, with me for just a moment, the period of this time, the day of the Lord. There, what did I say first of all? 2 Thessalonians 5. Maybe better turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Notice what he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write in you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. They shall not escape. They shall not escape. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in 2 Peter chapter 3, it gives us the authority for establishing basically the period of the great day of the Lord. The great day of the Lord. And notice there, Paul starts it out. And he says that when they say peace and safety. For the day of the Lord is a special term in the Bible used to refer to a period of time when God directly intervenes in the affairs of man. Now, I don't want you to get this confused. This, the day of the Lord. I don't want you to get it confused. But this is a period of time when the Lord directly intervenes in judgment in the affairs of men on this present earth. Man is having his day. This is man's day. This is the Gentiles' hour. But I want you to know, amen, that even though the Lord Jesus Christ is not now reigning, He is ruling from the heavens, and one day He will reign on this earth. He will reign on this earth. But He establishes here for us that period of time when He says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The reason why He wrote this is that there were some in this particular church who felt like because of the persecution they were under, they were already enduring the day of the Lord. And Paul's writing to them, tell them, no, sir, I'm telling you, you haven't seen anything like the day of the Lord. So, when does it start? When they shall say, peace and safety. When will it end? There in 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord, and here's the authority for showing the end. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also. And the works therein shall be burned up. Amen. It shall be burned up. I'm here to tell you, and we have here for us the establishing of the period of the day of the Lord. I believe that the period of the day of the Lord comes right after the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Antichrist, amen, steps in, makes a peace pact with Israel, as Daniel said they would, and it will continue on until one day the Lord steps out and says, it's enough, and this old world, it is absolutely renovated and annihilated, and the fire of the Almighty God. That is the period of the day of the Lord. Amen. And I'm kind of like Brother Southern. I know some agree and some disagree. And you're looking at me a little bit askance about that. Amen. But let me tell you something. He says, when they shall say, peace and safety. Are they going to say that at the end of the tribulation period? No, sir. When are they going to say that? At the beginning. Whenever the Antichrist steps in, makes peace. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. You see, God's days are not like our days. He's telling us here, this is the period of my judgment. Oh, I thought that was the day of the devil. I'm telling you. God's just using the Antichrist. God's just using the Antichrist to bring destruction and terror on this present world to avenge His holy and righteous name. Amen, church. Maybe I better get on something else. Amen. But what He's saying there is that here it appears to be the period of the day of the Lord when the Lord comes back. The rapture of the church will precede the beginning of the day of the Lord. There will be the fulfillment of Daniel's 70th week as we know it. That's 7 years of tribulation. Then the Lord will return to establish His millennial kingdom. There will be the destruction of the beast, the false prophet, and their armies. Amen. And then there again, there will be the judgment of the individual Gentile nations, the nations of the sheep and the goats and so on. Until there is a satanic revolt at the end of the millennial period at 1,000-year reign. And then finally this world is destroyed by fire, renovated by fire. Amen. And then there is a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. I'm here to tell you, the day of the Lord is soon to come. And you'll need to be ready for that great day of the Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I want to be ready when the Lord comes again and receives His church for the glory of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wake us up, Lord. Awaken us. Oh, sound the trumpet and Zion. Let it declare loud and boisterous. The day of the Lord is on the horizon. The day of the Lord is on the horizon. Amen. Let's look at just a moment at some of the particulars. And I'll try to close just shortly. Don't confuse the day of the Lord with the Lord's day. The Lord's day is Sunday. The Lord's day is Sunday worship. The day of the Lord is severe wrath. Don't confuse him. Don't confuse him. Amen. We may not altogether agree about the period, but I do believe, having studied it, that period is correct. Some will have it start in the middle of the tribulation. Some will have it start at the end of the tribulation. Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, you'd be wrong. Go ahead. Amen. It's your choice to be wrong. Hallelujah. I just want to be ready. Don't you, church? I want to be ready. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. I want my children to be ready. And I want my grandchildren to be ready. Hallelujah. Oh, holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to be ready. Amen. I appreciate men like Brother Finley. Amen. To be vulnerable enough to open up his pulpit. Amen. So we can come up here and tell you what we partly believe. But I'm here to tell you, the day of the Lord is right at hand. You need to be ready. Oh, holy, holy, holy. The day of the Lord is on the horizon. A terrible, awful, terrible day. You will need to be ready. Oh, God, help me this morning. Help me this morning. Help me this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Those words keep ringing in my ear. Sound the trumpet in Zion. Sound the trumpet in Zion. Sound the trumpet in Zion. The day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand. Some of the particulars of it. What are they? What are they? As you look at them, the Scriptures lets us know that when the Lord comes back, when the Lord comes back, and that man who has not known Him, for him it will be a day of reckoning. It will be a day of judgment. It will be a day that's cruel with fury, burning anger. A day of destruction from the Almighty. A day of panic. A day of subjugation. A day of confusion. A day of vengeance. A day that belongs to the Lord God of hosts. A day of tumult. A day of doom. A day of battle. A day of clouds. A day of judgment for Egypt. A day of gloominess and darkness. A day that's great and awesome. A day when the sun and the moon grow dark. Notice what he said there in the book of Joel. He said in that day that the sun and the stars would do what? Yes, they'd be darkened, wouldn't they? Yes, sir. I'm here to tell you that the brightness of his coming will shut out the light of the sun and the stars. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is coming the great and awful day of the Lord. You need to be ready for that coming day. Amen. When His very aura and glory and majesty, amen, as bright as that sun shines, and His new name glory, the power of Christ, and the sheen of the light of the glory of the Lord will shut out the light of the sun, the light of the stars, and the light of the moon. Holy, holy, holy. Help me, Lord, to be ready for that great and awful day of the Lord. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this present world. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. That white horse rider, that counterfeit Christ, will march in on his white horse with a bow and no arrow, a bloodless coup. Counterfeiting. But I'm here to tell you that there is a Christ that is coming who has a sword. You feel his presence here this morning? Oh, holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. Thank God for his presence. Amen. It may well be here this morning to encourage your hearts. Children of God, stay ready. Stay ready. I've never seen an hour when so many are going back, so many are backsliding, so many are falling away. But I want to encourage you, stay with the Lord. Don't quit. Hang on to God. Get a firmer grip. And hang on a little tighter. It'll be worth it when the Lord comes back. It'll absolutely be worth it. How much more time have I got, brother? I don't have any idea. Have I gone all my time? You tell me. The day of the Lord will be unassailable. It will be impartial. It will be impeccable. There are no mistakes. God keeps good records. It's unbelievable. God's wrath is terrible. When it comes to the fire of God, other fires are but painted fires. It's uncontrollable. God's wrath is irresistible. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Sinners may oppose God's way, but you cannot oppose his wrath. It's undeniable. They will absolutely know it is the day of the Lord. It's unequaled. It's unfathomable. It's ungarnished. It's unhinged. It's uninterrupted. Terror and the wrath of God is without intermission. Hell is an abiding place, but there is no rest there. It's unjaded. It's unkind. It's unlimited. It's unmerciful. It's unnatural. It'll be supernatural. It's unopposed. It's unprecedented. It's unquenchable. It's unrevocable. It's untempered. It's unutterable. It's unveiling. It's unwinking. It's unyielding. It's unzoned. It'll reach the whole world. Oh, God. That's the reason why when my 3-year-old grandson rushed in there and said, "Papa, would you come set a chair up?" I went in there and I got that chair. He said, "I want to preach, Papa." "Yes, sir. I want my children to be ready. The day. Let me just tell you a few more things. In light of all of this, there is a motivating application that he makes. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Let's put an application of this. Peter, why are you telling us all these things? I just want to remind you of these things to tell you. You need to be good. You need to be right. You need to be holy. You need to be just. You need to be perfect. In the eyes of the Lord, the purpose of prophetic truth is not speculation. It's motivation. The prophetic and the practical, they go hand in hand. Brother Sutherland preached that last night. Notice what he says. He says, look here. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? That's outward conduct. And then he says, in godliness. That's inward commitment. Because there are people who look it on the outside, but they don't have it on the inside. And that's not godliness. That's not godliness. Amen. Come on, you help me this morning, church. While I'm continuing to close. Amen. Somebody told me here the other day, had a man voted into office, and his wife is a holiness woman. And he made the statement to me, he said, "I saw that long hair, and the thing that came to my mind was, with that long hair comes those long tongues." And I thought, whoa, 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 we're going backwards on this. I've been around this long enough to know it ain't just the holiness people that have problems. Buddy, them worldly people have got just a bitter attitude and just as sorry a spirit as a multitude of holiness people. Come on, say amen to me, church. Yes, sir. Absolutely right. Don't come telling me that the holiness people got attitudes. I'm telling you, the Baptists have got attitudes, and the Methodists have got attitudes. Presbyterians have got attitudes. Yes, sir. You calling them devils? We better go on. But that's the application. That's the application. Amen. A man asked me the other day about a church. I said, well, if you don't mind people in leadership who go on the streets with less clothes on than I go to bed in, then maybe you don't have a problem with that. Whoa. Do I need to say that again? Or just shove that off? Amen. A motivating application. Let's apply this. Let's apply this. Let's put some strength behind it. Put some practicality behind it. These prophetic utterances are to tell us, motivate your heart. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. I've seen some terrible things. I've seen some terrible things. Amen. But I want you to know, the Lord is coming back again. And no matter how terrible they have been, the day of the Lord will be far worse. I've seen one of my good friends stand on the side of the road. He knelt in prayer as his 10-year-old child was dying in a car wreck. And they pulled him out in that little lifeless body, and the gray of death coming into him. And that man laying there with blood on his shirt, out there on the side of the road kneeling. His wife came up to me and said, Brother Larry, is there anything you can do? Please help us. Is there anything you can do? And I said, no, there's not. I'm sorry.
That's right.
I don't want to. It's going to be far worse than that. It's going to be far worse than that. That lady that walked by my side, and we went over there, and we took that white sheet and uncovered her dead daughter. And she said, I can't stand this. I can't stand this. I can't stand this. It's going to be far worse than that. It's going to be far worse than that. Amen. Amen. That little Hispanic girl who someone took a gun and stuck behind her ear and shot her in the brain and snuffed out that little Hispanic girl's life. And that daddy stood there beside me and cried. I tried to tell her. But she would not listen. And I put my hand on that man and tried to console him. I want you to know, it don't matter what kind of distress you've had in life, the day of the kids will be far worse. Far worse. Far worse. As I looked in that jail cell and saw that mother, somewhere upwards of 60, 70 years of age, and the alcohol reeking from her breath, and that state trooper standing beside me and saying, talk to her, preacher. Talk to her. She said, my son died, and I can't stand life. I'm telling you, the day of his wrath will be far worse. The day of his wrath will be far worse. There is coming a day. Oh, holy, 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 holy. You need to be ready. You need to be ready, because you and I have a marvelous anticipation, because we're looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, where in the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, melting. Elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, me, you, us, according to His promise, look for what? New heavens and a new earth. And we are longingly, eagerly anticipating that glorious day. I'm going to close my Bible to make you feel better. Amen. Would you stand with me, everyone that will? Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, day of his wrath.